My name is Rich Barrett, and if you weren't here at the beginning of the service, we're going to talk a little bit about groups today. But I get to be lead pastor here at Access Church, and that is absolutely the best job in the room. I don't know what you do. I'm sure you probably think it's fascinating, but I guarantee you I've got you beat. Because this is the most amazing organization to be a part of, and my wife Stephanie and I have loved being a part of something that began as a movement of a few people praying together that God might do something amazing in this city through the relationships that they had with a few friends and family members, and God turning it into something that is affecting hundreds of people every week. And we are so thrilled to be a part of this. Stephanie and I have four kids, and we love Jacksonville. We love living in Jacksonville. We love raising our kids in Jacksonville. We love our neighborhood. Our kids have a ton of friends in the neighborhood, and they are 14, 13, 11, and 8. And we just have a great time being parents and being a family. We love being together. But if you're a parent like me, you know that there are experiences that you wish you could just sort of give to your kids. You wish that there are certain experiences that you've had in your life that you could just make happen for them. In fact, if you had some kind of a magic button and you could just push the magic button and that would make your kids have that experience or make your kids learn that lesson, you would do that. Maybe it's the experience of being generous and you think, if I could just push that button and my kids could understand what it's like to sacrifice something from themselves and experience how it can make a difference in the life of another person. I just want to push the button and give them that experience. Maybe it's, you know, you're concerned for your kids and their relationships and you would love to just push a button and you would have your kids engage in some really meaningful relationships at school, that they would have a friend that is a good friend that encourages them, a friend that's loyal, a friend that leads them in the right direction. And we want these things for our kids, right? And we just wish, if I could just push a button and make this happen, I would absolutely do that for my kids. You don't have to be a parent to understand that sentiment. If you're a single person or you're married, you don't have kids yet, or whatever stage of life you might be at, you know that there are people in your life and you love them and you would love to just give them an experience. You would love to push a button and have them understand how a certain thing can really have an impact in their life. Maybe it's a book that you read. Maybe it's a movie you saw. Maybe it's a trip that you went on or a person that you met, a relationship that you experienced, and you want them to kind of experience that same thing. Have you ever been with a friend and they're like, oh, you know, and they're just going on and on and on about something like, you've got to read this book or you've got to meet this person. And that's what they're trying to do. They just want to push that button and give you that experience or have you understand the value of that moment that they experienced. Well, as a pastor, it's no different. As a pastor, there are things that I want for you. There are things that I want you to experience. I would love to be able to push a button up here and to have every single person in this room understand what it feels like to see someone tell their story on the screen and to be baptized and to know that you had a part in leading that person into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. I would love to see you sitting in this room with tears running down your face, cheering and clapping and yelling and so excited because you've seen what God has done in that person's life firsthand. And it's an amazing experience to be a part of God doing something in someone's life. And to see someone embrace faith in Jesus Christ for the first time is like an incredible experience. It's unbelievable. And if I could push a button and everyone in this room would have that experience, I would want that for you. I would want for everyone in this room to have had the experience to have been the person being baptized and to tell their story. And for you to experience how what seems like kind of a boring story to you, or what seems like a rather mundane series of events to you, can speak so loudly in the life of someone else. And someone else can hear your story and it can resonate with them. It can strike a chord with them and they can realize that God can work in their life very much the same way that God has worked in your life. I would love to push a button up here and have every person in this room understand how to live open-handedly before God. I would love for every single one of us to live in such a way that our possessions don't possess us. I would love to just see a tidal wave of generosity sweep through this organization, not for us, but for what God can do through that and how that can speak so loudly to our community and to our city and even to this nation to say, there's a group of people that understand that it is about not what God wants from them, but it's about what God wants for them and to live that way. I would love for you to understand what happens when you get down on your knees with a second graders, or you sit in a circle with some sixth graders, and you begin to share just a little bit that God has taught you. You begin to teach them. We have a saying around here that our responsibility is not to fill up someone else's cup. Our job is simply to empty our thimble. And I would love for every person in this room to take the little bit that God has taught them and to invest that in the life of someone else that's coming behind you. And then to see the light bulb go on for them and to see them begin to grow and see them advance in their relationship with God. I would love that for every single one of you and to understand how God can take that time and multiply it and give it back to you. But of all the things that I wish and all the things I want, there is one thing that is at the heartbeat of what we want for every single person in this room. And that is that we want everybody in this room to be part of some kind of structured group, a structured community group. That we have different kinds of groups here. We have access groups. We've got Financial Peace University. We've got community groups. The most common one that we have for adults is community groups. And we love to see adults engaging with other adults, developing relationships where you're in a context where someone is encouraging you, where someone is cheering for you, where someone is sitting down with you and helping you understand what does it look like to take these principles that we talk about on Sunday morning and integrate them with our career decisions. You know, do I take this job? Do I stick with this job? What does God say about that? How does God factor into that whole thing? To factor into our parenting decisions. You know, do we put them in this school? Do we put them in private school? Do we homeschool? What do we do? What's the best decision? How do we raise this kid the best way for this kid and his talents and his abilities and the way that God's wired him or her? And how do we do it in the context of our family and what all that looks like? And these are big decisions and they weigh on us. And it's so helpful when we can integrate with other people who are coming alongside us, who are also trying to understand what does it look like to take godly principles and integrate them with the most important decisions that we have to make in life. And if I could push a button and I could make something magically happen for you, I would have every single person in this room engaged in relationships like that, where you're meeting together three or four times a month, and you're getting past all the surfacey stuff, you're getting past all the small talk, and you're talking about what's real in your life. And you're talking about, man, this is really hard for us when we take our faith and we try to apply it to our budget. This is really hard for us when we take our faith and we try to apply it to our marriage. This is really hard for us when we talk about what it means to submit to one another and lay down our life for each other. And man, we need some help doing this. I would love it for every single person in this room if you were engaged in a relationship, in several relationships where people are coming around you on a regular basis and cheering you on and providing a context where there's accountability, where there's belonging, and where there's care. Because we believe that circles are better than rows. We can't find that in the Bible, but we're pretty sure that Jesus said it on a regular basis because of the way Jesus lived. Jesus lived in context of circles. He surrounded himself with 12 guys and they sat in circles a lot. And there was this context where people sat in rows and they learned, but there also was a lot of context where it was circle around, watch the way I live, ask a lot of questions, let's do life together. And so we say all the time around here, rows are fine, and there's a place for rows, and for what we do on Sunday morning, rows are the right way to do it. But circles trump rows every single time. And we're going to talk about all kinds of reasons. If you stick around this place long enough, we're going to talk about all kinds of reasons why we believe in groups, because we bleed groups. We believe so much in groups. But today we're just going to talk about one compelling reason. We're going to talk about a reason that Jesus mentioned about why it's so important to be engaged in relationships, why it is so important to be doing relationships with other people. And so we're going to start with this verse right here that Jesus talked about in Luke 17, And it's this simple statement that Jesus made, that things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. We chose that verse this morning just because it's fun to say the word woe. And we don't get to say that nearly enough, do we? I mean, how often do you get to just walk up to a coworker's desk and say, woe to you who has not turned in his expense report by Monday morning, right? I want to see you guys bring that back and use that word a little bit more. Woe to you who ignore these principles. But Jesus is saying, woe to anyone through whom they come. But this truth is that it's absolute. Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. They will come. Jesus isn't making this optional. Jesus is not saying that maybe, you know, chances are, it's likely. He is saying that things will come. Things that cause people to stumble. And if you actually look at it as the way that it would have been written in the Greek they would put the most important word first in the sentence. So in the Greek, it would kind of look like this. It would look like this and say, impossible it is for stumbling blocks not to come. It would be the Yoda version of that. That's where you wonder where Yoda speak comes from. It's this Greek idea of taking the very most important word and putting it first and saying, impossible it is for stumbling blocks not to come. Not that it's unlikely, not that it probably will happen. There's no chances involved. There's no statistics involved. It is impossible for stumbling blocks not to come and to be involved in your life. And so, what is a stumbling block? Well, a stumbling block is simply this. It's anything that leads one to act contrary to a proper course of action or a set of beliefs. So it's anything that pops up in our life and creates an unseen hazard for us. Jesus is talking about this literally in the context that it's a trap or it's something that we don't see coming. And so figuratively, it's this, I'm cruising along, my life is going well, and things are going, and then boom, I hit a stumbling block. There's an unforeseen roadblock. And I talk with people who sometimes say, well, I understand, you know, that being in a group or being in a context like that would be helpful if I were, you know, in a situation where we really needed help with our marriage. Or if we were in a situation where we didn't know what to do with our career. Or if we were in a situation where we were trying to decide where to move, then that might be helpful. But the reality is that Jesus has told us that these situations, these stumbling blocks, these things that are going to make it hard for us to pursue a proper course of action, they are going to come up. And when they come up, then it's too late to get in a community group. That's not the right time to get together with a group of people and circle up and say, hey, I'm the needy guy who wants to circle around me and help me make some decisions in my life. Right? The time to engage in relationships and to build this platform for people that can speak truth into your life is right now. It's a new school year. We're kicking off the beginning of the year. It's a lot of times what we've noticed that a lot of people make resolutions or set new patterns as much in September as they do in January. It's a time for us to start fresh. It's a time for us to start new habits, new cycles, a new calendar, new patterns. And we would love it if every single person in this room would decide that as part of our new pattern, as part of our new calendar, we are going to make an intentional effort to meet with other people on a regular basis, 3 or 4 times a month, and we're going to get together and we're going to talk about how to do life together. We're going to tell some silly stories along the way. We're going to tell the story about how we met as a couple. We're going to get to know each other. We're going to find out why we chose a different career path. We're going to just get to know each other, and we're going to build foundations for relationships, and not just the same kind of relationships you have with other neighbors in your neighborhood or relationships you have with your coworkers, but relationships with one significant end goal, and that is together we are leading each other into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just relationships for the context of a social gathering, but relationships for the purpose of leading people to God, pointing people to God, taking all the contexts that come up, whether it's related to work or related to relationships or related to your mother-in-law, and saying, How are we going to respond as God followers in this context and in this situation? Because the stumbling blocks are going to come, and they could come up in all kinds of ways, right? Stumbling blocks could come up as a result of some new ideas. Maybe you've experienced this in your life. Maybe you know that what Jesus says is true because you've stumbled. You've hit the stumbling block. You've bumped your toe on it. You know it hurts. Maybe it happened when you went away to college and you were introduced to some new ideas. And you had a professor that challenged some of the things that you had been taught growing up. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you grew up as part of a household that believed in God and had a strong faith. But you went away to college and you were introduced to some new ideas and some people that challenged your ideas, and you didn't have good answers for them. And so you stumbled. And you stumbled right out of church. And you stumbled right out of your faith. And it was years and years before you've come back. We hear that story here all the time. Maybe it's people. Maybe it's a new job and you're introduced to new people. Maybe it's maybe it was moving into a dorm for the first time. Maybe it's being introduced to other people, new neighbors. And they have a different lifestyle. They have a different way of approaching life. They have a different way of viewing life. And as you begin to spend time with them, and as you begin to experience life for them from their perspective, it becomes very easy for you to stumble out of church. It becomes very easy for you to stumble out of relationships. Maybe it's wealth. Maybe, you know, you have been blessed and God has given you a lot. And the problem with God having given you a lot is that as we become wealthy, wealth is deceitful. That the Bible says that wealth is deceitful. And what that means is that wealth is deceitful. It means that you can actually begin to believe that somehow because you're wealthy, because you have more than the average person in this world, that it's because you're smarter. And you can have a tendency to think that because I'm wealthy, I'm smart. And everybody in this room knows that's not true, because we all know some unsmart wealthy people, right? And we all know some smart people that are poor. And Jesus somehow said that, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a wealthy person to enter heaven. So there's this complication, and we say, well, the answer can't be about being wealthy. But what happens when we're wealthy is it provides more options for us. It provides more opportunities for us. And with more options come more options to make mistakes and more options to stumble. And the same thing happens on the flip side with being poor. Being poor can be a stumbling block for us. We can resent our situation. We can resent our place, and we can begin to feel like, you know, God could change this. God could solve this if he wanted to. And so our physical setting, our economic setting, can make it difficult for us to pursue a relationship with God, and we stumble right out of a relationship with God because we've either, you know, become too wealthy or we've become too poor. And so we pray this. We pray, God, keep all falsehood and lies from me. This is a prayer from Proverbs 30. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? See, the point is, there are things out there that can make us stumble. There are things out there that can make you stumble. And if you sit here and you think about it for a few minutes, you'll know exactly what that is. It could be a relationship. It could be someone that comes along that invites you to go out for drinks after work one evening, and drinks after work turns into going out dancing after work one evening, and your spouse and your family begin to ask the question of, whoa, what's going on here? What's happening? What are these new relationships, and are these wise? Are they leading you in the right direction? And we all know that there are things that will come that will provide opportunity, that will provide temptation, that will give us opportunity to stumble right out of our faith. And the reality is that stumbling out of church is easy, because church is just a Sunday morning habit, right? If you miss two Sundays in a row at church, it is so much easier to miss that third Sunday, because this is just something that you do. It's just a habit. It's a place. Now, hopefully it's encouraging. Hopefully it's helpful. Hopefully you leave here and love the fact that you were here. But if you miss a Sunday or two or three, it's a habit that becomes very easy to fall out of. It's something that we can stumble right on out of. So you've got to understand, and you've got to believe, and you've got to reckon with this reality that Jesus said that there are things that will come along guaranteed that will cause you to stumble. And so the question then is, what's going to be the context for me when those things come along? What are going to be the different pieces in my life that's going to make up the overall picture so that when something comes along, a new idea, a new relationship, a new neighborhood, a new workplace environment, when something comes along that provides new opportunities for me to stumble, what's going to be the context? What's going to be the bigger picture? And for my kids, what's going to be the context for my kids? What's going to happen when my kids have opportunities to stumble? Because this verse that's true for us is true for our kids as well. And so they hit sixth grade, and now they're in middle school, and they have whole new opportunities to stumble right out of their faith. And they hit ninth grade, and they go to high school, and they have whole new opportunities to stumble right out of their faith. And they hit their freshman year in college, and they move away from home, and they're living in a dorm for the first time, and they've got a completely different context with people that have very different worldviews, and they have the opportunity to stumble right out of their faith. And what's going to be the context for your kids? What is going to be the bigger picture? What's going to have made up that total environment for them in that moment when something comes along? Because they will come along. Impossible it is for things not to come along that will make us stumble. And see, it's easy to stumble right out of church because church is just a habit. But it is much more difficult to stumble out of relationships. Relationships, I mean real community, the kind of relationships where people know your business, where people are in your home and you're in their home, where they know the names of your kids and you know the names of their kids. Relationships are hard to stumble out of. When you've got families that begin to do life together, and I'm not just talking about a group of ladies that get together for a Bible study or a group of guys that get together for an accountability group in the morning. I'm talking about families that begin to mesh their family life. I'm talking about your husband knows their husbands. And so no matter what you tell them about what's going on in your life, the husbands are telling the real deal, or really more accurately, when the husbands get together, and because husbands do this, husbands get together and they're all like, hey, everything's great, everything's good, you know, it's all stiff upper lip. And the ladies, meanwhile, they're telling the real story, right? The ladies are like, time out, what about last weekend, you know? And I say this all the time, if men are in a community group with other men, but their wives do not have relationships with each other, the man is not in an accountability group. Because men will just sit around and say, yeah, things are going great, things are going good. Get your wives together. Let the wives talk about how things are really going on in your relationship. Things are going to come along that will cause you to stumble. And stumbling out of church is easy. Stumbling out of a habit is easy. But stumbling out of relationships is difficult. Because when you begin to do life with each other, when you begin to borrow each other's power tools, when you begin to watch each other's kids on the weekends, when you begin to take each other's kids to the beach, and when you begin to, your kids are spending the night, and you're trading kids, and all these things, when you are doing life together, it is a lot harder to say things are going well when they're not. And it's a lot easier to sit down and to look someone in the eye and to just be honest about what's going on in your life. It's a lot easier to sit down and to be honest about what's going on with your in-laws, about what's going on at work, about what's going on with your kids, and the things that worry you, and the things that concern you, and the things that keep you up at night. And you can be honest with these people because you've developed relationships and you've built a foundation, and there's something there that is so much deeper and so much greater than just sitting in the same row facing forward on Sunday morning. Because we really believe that much more valuable than all of your faces staring at my face or all of your faces staring at Andy is that you are looking at each other's faces, that you're sitting in a circle and you're doing life together. You see, some people would walk into this church already and they would say, well, you know, this is kind of weird. You guys walk in here most Sundays and you stare at a screen. And I want to be someplace where the pastor knows me and I want to have that relationship. And maybe you've invited friends to this church, and that's been some of their feedback. You've talked to them after, and they're like, that was kind of weird, you know, that you guys all like sat in the dark and you watched a guy on the screen. And if you believe that Sunday morning is what church is all about, then I 100% agree with you. If Sunday morning is what it's all about, if sitting in rows is what it's all about, then yeah, it is weird to stare at a guy on a screen. In fact, it's weird to go to any church that has more than about 30 people in the room. Because if Sunday morning is what church is all about, once you get more than about 30 people in the room, it becomes increasingly difficult for any of us to really know each other. And when people say, oh, I want the pastor in the room to know me, then you better stick with a church that has less than 30 people. Because when it gets bigger than that, it's really hard for any of us to truly know each other, much less a guy that sits up here to know what's going on in our lives. But see, we're okay with a guy being on a screen on Sunday morning and teaching us some incredible truths from the Bible because we believe that what church is really about, we believe that when church is really happening, we believe that when this place is at its most effective is that when we're sitting in circles and we're not looking at Andy's face, we're not looking at Rich's face, we're looking at each other and we're asking the question, how do we take the principle that Rich introduced on Sunday? How do we take the principle that Andy or Jeff or Clay introduced on Sunday and how do we apply that in our life today? How does that make a difference in our marriage? How does that make a difference in our parenting? How does that make a difference in my life as a single person who was married for a long time and now I find myself single and I'm trying to make all kinds of decisions in a totally new landscape? How does that make a difference for me as a college student who's trying to filter the choices that are thrown in front of me every single day? You've got to be in a circle with other people, looking at them face to face and asking those questions and helping each other navigate those times. See, when we're in context of relationship like that, it's a lot like family, but with a big difference. None of us listen to our families, right? You know that. You've been with, you know, for how long have your parents been trying to tell you how to live your life? And, you know, my wife gets a kick out of this. We would be with my mom. I have been driving now for, I don't even know, 20-some years, 20, I don't know, 26 years of giveaway. And you know, it would be, when my mom is a passenger in the car, you would be amazed that I have made it through life at all without her there to help me navigate or her there to help me drive or to help, right? And so there becomes this switch, and it's so funny because anyone else can sit in the passenger seat and say, hey, look out for that car that's merging, and I take it in stride. My mom does that, and it's like an instant flashback to when I was 15 years old, right? I can do it by myself. We don't listen to family. We don't listen to the people around us. When you know this as married people, you know that you've seen danger on the horizon and you've tried to tell your husband, I don't like that girl at the office. I think she's just a little too friendly to you. I think she just is a little too eager to help you out. And you try to tell your husband that, and your husband, no, no, no. We don't listen to family. You've tried to tell your wife that. You've tried to say to your wife, I'm not sure that some of those girlfriends that you're hanging out with are a good influence on you. I'm not sure it's a great idea to go out for drinks after work with that group of girls. I'm not sure that's a good idea. And your wife isn't ready to listen to you. You've tried to do this with your kids, right? And you've come to the realization with your kids that you tell your kid and tell your kid and tell your kid the same exact thing, right? And then you see another adult come into their life and they say the exact same words that you've used with your kid, and all of a sudden your kid's like, oh, that is a great, that's fantastic. And you're like, I'm right here. I can hear you. I see this whole situation. I'm what the whole conversation. I've been saying this your whole life. And your kid's like, yeah, it just didn't make as much sense when you said it. That's why right now, your elementary student is down the hall and they're not in a classroom facing forward. They're not sitting in rows. Your kids right now in Upstreet are sitting in a circle on a rug that we've intentionally bought round rugs because we believe circles are better than rows. And we've got your kid sitting in a circle with a small group leader developing relationships. Because we want there to be a context of relationships. We want there to be a bigger picture of relationships. Because they will drift out of church, but they won't drift out of those relationships. They will stumble out of church, but they won't stumble out of those relationships. And we have some of our small group leaders even move up every year with your kids. And it's the coolest thing in the whole world when your sixth grader is starting middle school and he's had the same small group leader since he was in kindergarten. And now the decisions are real. And now the choices they make are real. And now some of the mistakes they make can be very consequential. And they've got another voice saying something to them. It's the voice saying the same things that parents would be saying, but we don't listen to our family. And that principle is true for our kids, and so that same principle is true in our marriages and in our relationships. As single people, sometimes the people that are closest to us, we have a hard time, we chafe against those family relationships. And so a community group can be the context where someone can speak truth into our life, and we listen. And you know, the reality is that Rose, I'll tell you another reason that Rose just absolutely failed, is that when we stumble out of church, when we stumble out of this habit of coming on Sunday morning, and someone comes to us and they try to get us, if their goal is to try to get us to come back here on Sunday morning, the reality is when we've stumbled, we've made decisions to lead us into a rebellious pattern of living. We've made decisions to lead us away from our relationship with God. And the last thing we want is to come back here and to sit in rows. So that's the least effective place to try to pull somebody back into. But relationships matter, and relationships carry weight, even when we're not making great decisions. And we can pull people back into circles, and we can surround someone with circles. And sometimes you've even been a part of a group like this where you said, you know what? They're not coming to group anymore. We're going to take group to them. We're going to go knock on their door. We're going to find out what's going on. I'm going to call them, and we're going to go out for coffee. I'm going to pick up the phone, and we're going to meet together, and we're going to find out what's really going on in your life. Why did you stop coming to small group? What's going on? We have the opportunity to be involved in people's lives in a very real way, and to allow them to be involved in our lives in a real way, and in a way that Solomon, who was the wisest man who ever lived, was able to sum it up like this. Now, Solomon didn't always listen to his own advice. In fact, Solomon's kingdom fell apart because he didn't listen to his own advice, but he was the wisest man that ever lived, and he wrote down in Ecclesiastes a lot of wisdom that he learned in his life of living as king and ruler and wisest person on earth. And this is what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. He says that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. That's a principle that we understand in business. That's a principle of synergy. That's a principle that says that two people can actually get more done than one person alone. In fact, two people can get as much done as three or four people when they work together. Those in agriculture have known this for a long time, that when you take two oxen and you yoke them together, that those two oxen are stronger than two oxen. They're actually as strong as three or four oxen. And so we can get more done, that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. And then Solomon goes on to talk about this. If the one falls down, the other can help him up. If one falls down, the other can help him up. And that is exactly what we're talking about here. That there's going to come a time when we stumble. There's going to become a time when we need someone to help him up. But, and this is the category you don't want to fall into. You don't want to fall into the but category. But pity those who fall and have no one to help him up. Pity those who fall and have no one to help him up. And you see, I just want to push a magic button because I don't want any one of you to fall into that category. I don't want anybody to sit in this room or to sit in their living room or to sit at Starbucks 6 months from you now and mention your name and say, pity them. Pity them because they fell and they didn't have anyone to help them up. Pity them because they stumbled and they weren't part of a group. Pity them because they didn't have the relational network coming around them and saying, we are going to link arms with you and we are going to pull you through this. Pity them because they didn't have a group of people that are willing to get in their faces and say, yeah, it's hard. It's really hard. Now pick yourself up and get back in there. You can do this. We're cheering for you. We're praying for you. I don't want anybody in this room to be spoken of and somebody to say, pity them because they didn't have anyone to help them up. Pity the 14-year-old who's never been in a small group and doesn't have another adult speaking into his life as he starts his freshman year in high school. Pity the sixth grader who's having a whole new array of choices presented to them, and they don't have someone to talk about it with. They don't have an adult that's a trusted friend in their life to bounce these things off of. They don't have other sixth graders who are also trying to figure out how to do this and walk through this together. You know, the hardest calls that we handle around here are when someone calls and they say, can you help? Can you help? Because my husband has stumbled. And I'm afraid that he's stumbled right out of his faith. Or my wife has stumbled and she stumbled right out of her faith. Or my son or my daughter has stumbled. And they've stumbled right out of their faith. And we ask, are they in a community group? Because we know that the most effective people to come around them are the people that already have earned the right to be heard in their lives. I will call your friend, I will call your spouse, I will call and I will meet with your kid. But if I don't have a pre-existing relationship with them, I'm just a preacher from a church. And honestly, I'll do it for you, but the likelihood that it's going to make a lasting change in their life and their choices and their behavior, it's minimal. And my heart breaks when I get those phone calls because I want to say, if they were in community, if they were in a group, I probably wouldn't have even gotten the phone call because the community group would have intervened before I even found out about the situation. Pity the one who falls. Pity the one who stumbles and no one is there to help him up. And I want you to know that we have structured a system within our system to create care, to create accountability, to create belonging for you. Is it going to be easy? No, you're going to have to meet some new people. And there's always some awkwardness that comes with that. Is it going to be natural? Sometimes, yes. Sometimes you're going to recognize, you know, my wife has a saying, everybody's an onion. There's lots and lots of layers. And we know people in this organization, we've known them for 5 years, we've known them for 6 years, and we keep peeling back the layers and we keep learning new parts of people. And some of our layers, some of my layers, smell worse than others. And that's part of doing community. That's part of doing life. That you peel back these layers and you get to know people. And sometimes the layers are really fun. Sometimes you come home from a community group and you can't stop laughing together in the car as you're driving home from a community group. And you're saying, that is the most fun group of people. I would come home from vacation early just to make sure I don't miss community group this week. And other times you drive home from a community group and you have tears running down your face because there is real pain going on in someone's life. But it is a system that we have structured within this system, and we love groups. We are not giving up on groups. We are going to be a groups church till the day that this church closes its doors. I don't know how long that'll be, but we are going to be a groups church forever because we believe so strongly in groups. Stephanie and I have been part of married small groups since long before we started this church, and we will continue to be a part of it. And we think it is so important for us to be a part of it and everyone on staff to be a part of it and every one of you to be a part of it. We will talk about groups until we are blue in the face because we want you to be a part of this opportunity to develop relationships that can literally, literally be life-changing and set you on a completely different course. Because when you stumble, and you will, there will be someone there to pick you up. Because the reality is that when we need groups the most is when we desire it the least, or when we desire it the least is when we need it the most. But you've got to lay the foundation, and you've got to prepare for that now. So, I'm going to talk about GroupLink and how GroupLink works. Because we want every single one of you to go onto our website today. We want you to go to accesschurch.com. We want you to click on the tab that says adults, and we want you to register for GroupLink. Because we want you to be in relationships that matter. Is it harder to come to GroupLink if you're a single person? Yes. Is it every bit as important for you to come as a single person? Maybe more so. We want to put you in relationships, in a network of relationships that matter. That are going to, people that are going to stand with you, people that are going to walk with you, people that are going to cheer for you, people that have got your back. Is it awkward to come to GroupLink as a married person? I suppose. I think the single people have no sympathy for you. Because you get to walk in with somebody else, and it's like, if nothing else, we'll stand over here in the corner. We got each other, babe. You know, we're gonna back each other on this. But the awkwardness lasts for a few minutes, and the benefits, you reap the benefits for years and years and years to come. Believe it or not, coming to GroupLink for Stephanie and I is awkward. I lead this organization, and yet when I come to GroupLink as a participant, I'm just like you, and I stand around just like you, and I wonder what group we're going to end up in, and I wonder if they're going to like me, and I wonder if they're going to be like, oh, crud, we got the pastor's group. How did we get the pastor's group? And I've got all the same insecurities. You know, Stephanie and I did student ministry for 10 years, and when the church we were working at the time, when they first approached us and asked us if we would move from doing student ministry to working with young married couples and young families, we were petrified because we had never worked with adults before. And we thought, we have no idea how to work with adults. We know how to work with kids, we know how to do games, we know how to do overnighters and lock-ins and all that crazy stuff. We have no idea how to work with adults. And we prayed and prayed and prayed, and we finally came to this conclusion. We were sitting in the parking lot of Starbucks because they kicked us out one night, and we said, what if we just treat them all like they're 15? Because we know how to do that. And the more we talked about it, we thought, you know what? I think they are all just like 15-year-olds. I think every one of you is just like the 15-year-olds that are going to meet in the attic for transit at the next hour. You walk into this room and you ask the question, where am I going to sit and who am I going to sit with? And am I going to find people I like? And again, we are just like 15-year-olds. And I'm telling you, come to GroupLink. Get past a few minutes of discomfort. Get past a few minutes of awkwardness. Meet some other people. And I'm looking around the room, and I'm seeing faces, and I'm seeing a heads nod, and you guys are saying back to me, we did it. These heads that are nodding are telling me, we did it. We got past the awkwardness. We got past the discomfort. And we came to GroupLink and we met some other people and we left there. We went to dinner together and we were like, wow, this is really weird. We don't even know these people and we're already planning what night of the week we're going to spend together. We want you in these relationships. We're going to put you in relationships with people that are at your same stage of life, that might even live in your part of town. You'll decide together as a group what night of the week you'll meet. And what content you'll talk about. Our groups are very autonomous. But we're going to set you up for success and give you the opportunity to really be engaged and really be doing life together. Is there any uncertainty what my goal is for you walking out of this room today? We want so badly for you to be in groups. We don't want this from you. We don't get anything out of you being in groups. We want this for you. If we could hit a button, we would do it. But the next best thing is to just try to compel you that life is going to give you some stumbling blocks. And the best way you can be prepared is to be in community. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful for this opportunity to talk about the things that matter most. Thank you so much for this room full of people that would be willing to come here on Sunday morning to give up a valuable part of their weekend and to think about and be challenged to think about engaging in community with other people. God, I pray that you would ignite conversations in every vehicle that leaves this parking lot today. I pray that single people would be talking about it, married people would be talking about it, college students would be talking about it, empty nesters would be talking about it, people that used to be married and now they're single again would be talking about it, and that we would all be willing to step forward and to engage in relationships that matter. So that when we stumble, we can help each other out, we can point each other back to a God who loves us, and a God who's always there. We pray all this in your name. Amen.